This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, This is Your Brain During a Pandemic. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of people are trying to be as productive as possible right now under very difficult circumstances. But then we also see advice out there that says, it's enough just to get by. Stop trying to be so productive. It can feel like a constant push and pull. It's fine, relax, versus get off the couch, start a new project, get to work. There is a growing body of research that finds that doing nothing, even letting yourself be bored sometimes, is crucial for cognitive health. Steph Yin reports.
Lisa Pradhan is 28. She's a community organizer and multimedia artist living in Oakland, California. Being productive and finding meaning through work have always been really important to her.
I really internalized at a young age that I needed to do the most. And I think I really set up a series of ways of relating to work and productivity and self-worth where I was really pushing myself to the limit.
In high school, Lisa was one of those kids on the AP honors track, and there was a certain culture to that.
I think by being a part of that, I really surrounded myself with kids who were pushing themselves really, 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 really hard.
In her junior year, the stress caught up with her. She had to take time off school.
Because I just started getting super sick and no one knew why. I just started having all this pain. And at the time, it felt like my body was falling apart.
But Lisa came back and pushed herself even harder in college, taking 7 or 8 classes while working multiple jobs and volunteering.
And still feeling this feeling of like, I'm not doing enough.
After college, Lisa worked a full-time job by day. By night, she worked on her own art and joined efforts to build up art spaces for Asian Pacific Islanders and queer folks of color in the Bay Area. She'd go to community meetings, apply for grants, or work on a project for a show until late. Sometimes she'd forget to eat. Not only did this always-on lifestyle take its toll on Lisa's body, it was also emotionally and psychologically draining.
When you're stressed out all the time, it's really hard to show up in the world in the way you want to.
But Lisa didn't know how to stop or what to change. Then in 2017, 2 major incidents happened back to back. Lisa was assaulted in a violent attack. She asked to take some time off from work and a few days later was laid off from her job. She doesn't think her request for time off was related to the layoff, but the timing stung. It was a breaking point.
It's like, you know what? I've been doing all these different things in my life and it hasn't brought me happiness. Like, it hasn't brought me joy. It has just made me feel really tired all the time. And I just like gave myself permission to not do anything for a while and to just focus on like having energy and focus on mending myself.
A lot of us go, go, go until we can't. We keep pushing ourselves to the limit. We don't know how to rest. Experts say this impulse to always be doing something may be especially strong for younger generations, starting with millennials, who grew up in a hyper-competitive culture of scheduled extracurriculars and college prep, not to mention lots of screen time. Every moment of the day had to be filled with activity or stimulation. Now, as working adults, the effects of hustle culture are starting to catch up to many of them. Some have even given these effects a name, millennial burnout.
So this has, for years, long been a hobby horse of mine.
That's Tim Herrera. He's the editor of Smarter Living, a section in the New York Times that gives tips for how to live a better and more fulfilling life. And he's a big proponent of doing nothing.
I feel like so many other millennials just kind of, it's been ingrained in us that we need to subscribe to hustle culture and always need to be maximizing productivity and always be monetizing our hobbies and everything should be for the purpose of career advancements and all this. And I think it's poisonous and really destructive to our own happiness and our sense of identity. And in a more practical level, it's destructive to our overall productivity.
Smarter Living has published a lot on this topic over the years. Articles with titles like The Case for Doing Nothing, Work Less, You'll Get So Much More Done, and one of Tim's favorites, Take Naps at Work? apologize to no one. He does, by the way, take naps on the clock, and he's become something of a nap ambassador for the rest of the Times' newsroom. Tim says there's always some backlash to these articles.
It seems like a very American idea to look down on people who take breaks throughout the day and who, like, need a nap at 2 in the afternoon. And culturally, we are trained to see idle time as almost a character flaw.
But Tim is steadfast in his belief that we need more idle time in our lives. And he says the science backs him up.
The research and scientific evidence is perfectly clear, very unambiguous. We know this is how to be more productive. And, you know, you could read any book on productivity, talk to any expert, taking time for idleness and to daydream. These are tips that everybody who knows what they're talking about sings the praises of because we know that they work.
One of those experts is psychologist Doreen Dodgen-McGee. She says the obsession with productivity has made us averse to boredom. Doreen worries that many of us can't even wait in line a few minutes without pulling out our phones. She says that's a problem because it seems our brains actually need to be bored every now and then.
The prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that is responsible for things like attuned communication and starting and stopping behaviors, self-reflection and self-knowing awareness, is a part of the brain that really is stimulated to create robust wiring in the absence of other stimulation.
Meaning the brain requires some level of boredom for neurons in the prefrontal cortex to fire and create new connections. The prefrontal cortex plays an important role in emotional regulation. It helps us have what Doreen calls an internal locus of control.
The ability to soothe ourselves and come back to center rather than always needing to be stimulated or held by things outside of us.
It makes sense. Being bored lets us learn how to be content without distraction. Doreen says once you know what that feels like, it's easier to return to it. The calm within yourself becomes like a muscle you can use when things aren't going as well.
So it just helps us develop these really beautifully important psychological traits of grit and resilience like nothing else does.
On the flip side, when we're cognitively taxed all the time, we have trouble regulating our emotions. We're faster to anger, less able to weather frustration. Researchers have also found that the ability to tolerate boredom is linked with creativity.
There is the idea that when we allow ourselves to be idle, it increases the likelihood that we will become uncomfortable enough that we will get creative with our surroundings or even just creative within ourselves to find ways of having meaningful experiences.
Doreen says when she talks about idleness, she doesn't mean taking a break from work to scroll Instagram. She means resist filling the moment. Let your attention drift.
Just sitting and looking out of a window or sitting on one's porch and watching as the day goes by. The Dutch call this Niksen, N-I-K-S-E-N, which means doing nothing deliciously.
But Niksen feels unproductive, right? It could even make you feel anxious or guilty. Why is that? Or conversely, why do we care so deeply about being busy and productive all the time? Sylvia Bellezza has a hypothesis. She's a professor of marketing at Columbia University's Business School, and she studies status symbols. She became interested in our obsession with being busy because of a contradiction she noticed. In her field, the classic idea is that leisure time is a status symbol. An American economist named Thorstein Veblen wrote about that in the late 1800s.
He talks about the idea that the extremely wealthy people are the ones who can afford not to work. So he specifically says that the conspicuous abstention from labor becomes a manifestation of the fact that you're particularly wealthy.
But all around her, Sylvia saw pretty much the opposite.
You see that people are bragging all the time about working nonstop, not going on leisure, even when you're supposed to be on holiday, bragging about the fact that you're working.
Sylvia thought today being busy is the status symbol. She tested this out a bunch of different ways to see if it was really true. For example, she created fake Facebook profiles. One profile would be filled with posts about working nonstop, being super busy. The other would have posts about having tons of free time. Then she asked study participants to rate the profiles. Do you think this person is wealthy? How would you rank their social status?
And what we find recurringly is that there is this significant difference such that the person who's working all the time is seen as higher status than the person who's engaging in leisure.
But this was only true for participants in the US. When Sylvia did a similar experiment with Italians, she found the opposite.
For the Italians, as soon as they see the person who's not working, they immediately think of the person is well off. That's why they're not working.
Sylvia then looked into why participants in different countries felt the way they did.
What we find is that in countries like the US, in which people really think that through hard work, you can make it to the top of society, we find that in those countries, being busy at work and being a workaholic is typically seen as very positively.
Doreen, the psychologist and boredom ambassador, tries to push back against this type of mentality. She hosts boredom parties, where she invites random people to come together with no pre-planned agenda or objectives.
So I'm going to invite you to get bored with me.
Here's Doreen hosting a boredom party with anchors at KGW News, a TV station in Portland, Oregon.
And the first thing we're going to do is put our phones in a collective place where it is going to be away from us. I know, it hurts a little bit, right? But it also, does it feel good at all? Here we go. Okay, goodbye, phones.
She cuts out phones, alcohol, music, at least at the start. Then she sees what people do with their initial discomfort.
And really interesting and unique things have popped up.
One group had an impromptu sing-along. Another had each person teach the rest of the group a useless skill.
If we have very, very stressful work environments, then learning the practice of taking even 3 minutes to do some things like breathing and let my mind kind of wander, even those tiny moments can go a long way toward soothing the self, even in very demanding conditions.
Doreen recognizes there's an irony to the work less, you'll get more done argument. She worries it reinforces the very productivity mindset she's trying to fight. For instance, she says, think of the trends toward quantifying leisure. Now, the simple act of going on a walk can become all about tracking your step count.
A lot of the mindfulness apps now, or meditation apps, will tell you the number of minutes that you have meditated and where you are in the global standing.
That matters because researchers have found even simple tasks of monitoring, like asking people to check off shapes that they filled in a coloring book, can counteract the replenishing effects they would have gotten from coloring aimlessly. That's why Doreen says unwinding has to be its own reward. Do nothing for the sake of doing nothing.
That story was reported by Steph Yin.